Blog Talk Radio.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start.
And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Christmas.
Good evening, and welcome to our Deadly Reads Radio Christmas Show. My name is Linda Barton, and I'm here with Lisa Vandeveer. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Going good. I love that music. That puts you in such a great spirit, hearing it. I love that.
I know. Isn't it fun?
It is.
I am just all soaked up in the Christmas spirit. I have been having so much fun. Got all the decorations up, got all the shopping done, all the packages wrapped, just waiting for one more package to show up with some two little gifts. And once they get here, those are wrapped in under the tree. And I feel so accomplished this year. I'm using the last minute crying, oh my God. So this year I'm very proud of myself.
Well, good job. So
sent out my Christmas cards already and everything.
That's the way you are though. You've got everything fixed and ready. So me on the other hand, I frantic.
You on the other hand. I'm usually at Christmas. I was always the one that was kind of crazy and, you know, like I said, last minute. But I said, you know, I'm not as fast at doing things as I used to be. So I thought, I better start this early. I'm really lucking out this year because I do not have to cook Christmas dinner. Woohoo!
Wow. So who's doing the dinner?
We're going to Amber's, our daughter.
Oh, cool.
She invited us for Christmas Eve dinner. And so we're going there for Christmas Eve dinner. She's making a ham with all the trimmings. So it's going to be her and Cyrae and Ralphie, be Bob and I. It'll be Grant, which is Amber's new man in her life. And his I know. He's really, really nice. I like him. And his two little boys from a previous marriage. And his mother's going to be there. So it'll be all of us for Christmas Eve. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. So it's great.
Yeah. And then Christmas Day, Bob and I are going to sit around and be a couple of bums.
That's the best thing to do.
Oh, I know. Well, she was really sweet. Our daughter got us those, what's those steaks you can get mail order? Oh, I can't remember the company name. But anyway, you see them on TV all the time. And she sent us one of those big gift things. This huge styrofoam box showed up last week, and it's loaded with steaks and hamburgers and all that fancy schmancy stuff from that company. So Bob goes, Linda, if it's not raining on Christmas Day, because, you know, we live in Southeast Texas, so we don't get the snow, but we do get rain. So if it's not raining, he goes, how about we grill some steaks for Christmas dinner? I'm like, cool, sounds good to me.
Steak's always good.
Now, what are you guys doing for Christmas?
Well, you know, it's just the three of us, usually, Matt, Kira, and I, and my family's all in Tennessee, and so they're all there with their families this year. My mom is going to be in Nashville. My niece is going to college in California in January, so she is going to be spending the holidays with Tara before she goes to school. But so we'll be here with the horses and the puppies and the cat and just hanging out, the three of us, which is always fun. I've hinted to Matt that I've never eaten duck. So I've hinted to Matt that I wanted to do duck this year just to try it out. But he's like, I don't know if you're going to like that or not. But so we may not do it, but
it's a little on the gamey side. Yeah, it's a different flavor.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I may not want that for Christmas.
And you better know how to prepare it properly. That's the thing I've always been told.
He's a good cook. He's a better cook than I am. Shh, don't tell him I said that now.
Okay.
But
you can stick with me.
Right. So anyway, right now this week is a busy week because I'm planning with two other moms from the barn. It's so funny because there's two other girls at the barn where Kira rides also has their birthdays in December. Like Kira.
Yay. Uh-huh.
So we three moms have gotten together. We're going to do our birthdays together this year at the barn there. So that's this Saturday. We're all running all around, you know, with our heads cut off, trying to get that party planned and everything. So that's our big event for the year is birthdays.
Yeah.
That'll be fun having
a triple party. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. Got some big plans. So the kids are going to love it. So.
Mm. So now, have you got Christmas presents for your puppies yet? I heard the horses have already gotten theirs. Now, have the puppies gotten their Christmas presents yet?
No, we have not got puppy presents yet. I think I might get them some sweaters if we can do it, swing it this year. They're a little bitty feist, if you know what those are, little bitty dogs. And so the poor little things, they shiver every time they go outside, you know, freeze to death. And so I said, we got to get them some sweaters.
Like I said, I tried to be ahead on Christmas stuff. So for Bear and Baby, now Bear is, for those of you that don't know, Bear is our 125-pound Black Lab Great Dane mix. He's huge. Mm-hmm. And then we have Bailey, who's our chocolate lab, and last time he was weighed, he was 90 pounds. So neither one of them are small. Well, I got them each one of those great big leg bones, you know. You can get it at the pet store, you know, the great big ones they can chew on at this actual cow leg I did. And it's all wrapped up and stuff. And I tried sneaking it over and putting it in their stocking. But they caught mommy.
Uh-oh.
And so now they have been nagging like a small child. They stare up at their stocking and they look at us. And they stare at the stocking and they look at us. And then they run over and nuzzle you with their nose. Like they run back over and point up at their stocking. And it's like, no, not until Christmas.
they are. They're worse than children. They are. They really are.
I said, no, Christmas Day, you guys can eat it. That could be your special Christmas Day because, you know, all of our other children are all grown. So we just have the two four-legged, you know, fur babies now. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they are. They're just like children. They're sweet and naughty and everything. So everything that goes with it.
Yep.
Well,
talking about your dog. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, he's talking about your dog being cold. Bear and Bailey, they come in and they fight over who gets to be the one to lay in front of the heater vent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's funny. And I bet the biggest one always wins, right?
Well, yeah, because he'll just lay on Bailey if Bailey doesn't move. And Bailey's like clawing and crying, trying to get out from underneath of him. It's quite amusing at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet it is.
Okay.
Well, all right. So now we tonight are celebrating Christmas, but we're also going to talk about your new book. And so let's get that started before the hour gets away from us. So I'm sure everyone knows who Linda L. Barton is if you've listened to our show. But for those of you, let me do a quick intro to Linda. Linda's a multi-genre author, publishing her first book in 2011. She began her career by writing dark thrillers and then branched out to YA fantasy, women's fiction, and even two children's books so far. Mm-hmm. She's the founder of Deadly Reads Author Services, and co-host this show with me, Deadly Reads Radio, Journey into the Night. We, of course, air on Thursday nights at 9:00 p.m. Central. Now, on a personal note, Linda is happily married to her best friend and writing muse, Bob, whom she's been with for more than 30 years. They have a daughter and a son together, five beautiful grandchildren, and, of course, their furry family members, Bear and Bailey. She enjoys being an author and cannot imagine doing anything else. Linda lives in southeast Texas and looks forward to each new day with a love and a genuine appreciation of life. Now, on a personal note, Linda is a very dear friend to me, and she's been a strong mentor to me in the career of writing. So she's taught me so much about publishing and cover design. So I could go on and on and on about how well she's helped me through the years that we've known each other. So tonight we're talking about her newest book called Saying Goodbye. You want to read the description? Do you want me to read the description of the book?
You can go ahead and read it. You can go ahead and read it.
Okay. All right. So here's a little look into the book. Sometimes life doesn't go in the direction we've planned for ourselves. We believe we have everything all figured out. Then something happens to flip our world upside down. Molly had always believed her life was on track. She thought she would graduate from medical school and then go on to have a fulfilling career. However, life sometimes has other plans for us. Saying goodbye takes you on a journey of discovery as Molly learns a powerful lesson we all try to avoid. As Molly comes to terms with her painful past, she finds joy by finally learning how to say goodbye. Now, Linda, what genre would you say that Saying Goodbye is?
Women's fiction, contemporary, romance in a way, but not in the way most people think romance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really not quite sure. I've been told different things, so that's kind of what I put it in, as women's fiction, you know, contemporary type. It was just it was a book that just hit in my brain, and I had to write it, and
mm-hmm.
it was really cathartic for me, because so many blips in this story are from different aspects of my life and experiences
mm-hmm.
that I've had, you know, in my life. So
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Okay.
Is that okay to you?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I always thought it sounded like of course, women fiction. But yeah, I was surprised that romance would be a part of it. But like you said, when you did a research on it, and I did a quick research on it too myself, it actually fits that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I like that you put that on there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you want readers to take from this story? Is there a certain aspect of the story that you think outlines this? What is your thoughts on that?
When I was writing the book and the story was pouring out of my soul, it kind of touched on the idea of how sometimes our relationships aren't what we think they are. And
mm-hmm.
in Molly's case, it was her relationship with her mother.
Right.
She had a difficult relationship with her mother because she didn't really understand. She was very close to her father, and he passes suddenly, and it kind of throws Molly for a loop. And
mm-hmm.
she has other issues in her life that she just kind of one of those people that runs away from things because she doesn't want to face it. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately now, she comes home for Christmas from college. She's in college, and she is dreading going home because her dad's not going to be there. Ooh, what's that sound?
I don't know. I'm here.
Anyway, okay. Must be something on the line.
I don't know.
That's weird. You hear it?
Mm-mm.
Okay, on my side. I'm sorry, folks, if there's a weird sound.
Well, yep, sorry.
Anyway, she has to come home for Christmas, and she isn't really looking forward to it because it's just going to be her and her mom. And she has to face her mother, and she realizes that, you know, she can't run and hide anymore. And the story progresses where an important person shows up in the story. Pull the mic thing away from your mouth a little bit. And anyway, she has to face her mother. And anyway, she – I lost my train of thought. Okay, an important person shows up. Sorry, folks. An important person shows up in the story that Molly isn't expecting. And through this person and the effect that he has on her and her visit at home changes everything for Molly. And she ends up realizing that what she thought of her mother wasn't necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes to terms with her mother, the loss of her father, and who she is as a person herself. So
That's
the best. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give it away because there's so much in the story.
Right.
But, yeah, it's basically that.
Yeah, I mean, I read the story, and I enjoyed it, and it was it had a lot of good feelings to it. It brought out a lot of emotions. It was a wonderful read. And it was a perfect story for Christmas. It was a different kind of story for Christmas, but that's one of the reasons I liked it so much, because it was different. So that's why I liked it. It wasn't, you know, your ordinary Christmas story, but it had a Christmas, it was based during Christmas and everything, and it had good feeling to it and a good good meaning and everything, and so it was perfect for Christmas. Do you have a favorite character in the story?
Oh, actually, Liam. Yeah, Liam.
Mm-hmm.
He is the man that when Molly comes home, she finds out that he is there as her caretaker. Her mother's dying of cancer, and he's there as the hospice care person. And the way that he handles the situation and the love and caring that he shows, yeah, Liam, I just, when I was writing the story, I have to totally be honest with everybody, I wasn't quite sure how the ending was going to play out for him.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even really quite sure what the twist surprise was going to be about him yet, because I didn't know. Because I honestly got to know Liam as the story was unfolding. It was like I was getting introduced to him also, like the reader is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the end, when it came time, it was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, yeah, Liam, he's kind of crushed on him during the story, to be honest.
Yeah, there's some things I could say, but I don't want to say too much, like you said, to give the story away. But Liam wasn't who I thought he was. So, yeah, that was a great – I liked the way you had his story going. And as usual – You lead your reader in one way, and it's absolutely not the way that the story goes. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you think it's going a certain direction, and then she throws a wrench in there, and it a whole nother way. So you can't figure her out, her stories out. You know, it keeps you interested all the way through the story. But, yeah, I don't ever think you've got her stories figured out. So, but I like that. I like that. So, anyway, the cover. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the cover art is just absolutely gorgeous. Just absolutely gorgeous. And as you read the story, it's authors are big on about, or a lot of authors I know are big about making the cover fit the story. And I'm telling you, you have done an outstanding job on choosing the cover art to match the story. It's just absolutely gorgeous cover art and perfect cover for the story. So you created that cover, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't create it. I found it. It was the darndest thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was one of those. Well, I did put the cover together, but the actual, the artist of the photo. No, I didn't. I was on one of those sites where you can get pictures, you know, and it's license free and all that. And I'm going through and trying to decide what kind of picture art I wanted on this book. And I knew it was Christmas. I'm thinking, oh, well, should I put a Christmas tree or, you know, scenery of snow? And I'm thinking, no. And I'm sitting there and I'm scrolling through the pictures and I flip to the next page and all of a sudden this picture popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's Molly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the woman in the hat and the gloves and the coat and, you know, blowing the glitter, you know, and everything. And,
she's absolutely beautiful. She's a beautiful woman.
Yes, and I said, that's Molly, you know. So I used that picture, and I will be honest with you, that picture inspired the ending. The ending, you know, and
I remember the ending.
Yeah, and it's so the picture is so uplifting and full of hope, and
it is.
You know, it's like releasing the old, you know, and that's what this book is. This book is releasing that pain that you hold inside that eats at you, and realizing that there's so much more that life has to offer. You just have to open your heart for it. You know, so many of us walk around with our little shields on and we protect ourselves from getting hurt or disappointed or, you know, anything, all those emotions. We're just afraid to let anything touch us a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been bad about that, partly because with my father, he was retired Air Force. And so we moved a lot when I was a kid, and I never learned how to really, well, I didn't want to, it wasn't that I didn't learn how, but I didn't want to make close friends, because as soon as I would get good friends, well, Dad would come home and say, oh, we're moving somewhere else, you know, and it was like that about every 2 years, and so I know I put up my barriers, you know, and that's how I got the title for the book, is Learning How to Say Goodbye, because I've had that wall around me that I didn't want to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't want to let myself get to that point where I would even have to. And so that's part of it for me. And there's the scenes in there, you know, where Molly's talking about her father, you know, being in Vietnam and all that, and sending the reel-to-reel tapes back and forth with the piano music and stuff. I did that as a little girl when my dad was in Vietnam, and there's lots of blips in this book from my life, blips in the mind of my mother's relationship, and, you know, it just, I guess the best message I can tell people is this book lets you know that there's a lot of beauty in life out there. And sometimes you've got to release and say goodbye. And it's not just saying goodbye to people, but it's saying goodbye to those things that hurt you, those things that make you afraid. You know, you just have to be willing to say, you know what, I'm a worthwhile person. I'm a good person. I'm going to live my life to make me happy. And if I'm doing that, I'm making everybody else around me happy too. And so,
that's true. Good message.
That's basically the premise of saying goodbye.
Good message. Okay. Now, let's see. Do you want to take a break and play some music, or should we go ahead and do your reading, whichever you want to do first?
Let's go ahead and do some. Now that I've got us all. Here's one of my favorites. I got us all going, oh. Here's one of my favorites as a kid, and I'm sure any of you my age, younger, older, whatever, remember dancing around the living room to this one. If not, you just didn't know how to live, because this is the song.
Oh, yeah.
Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. What a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, jingle your feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and mingle in a jingling beat. That's the jingle bell rock.
Jing, jing, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Love that one.
Yeah, that's a good song. It's out, makes you feel great. I love it.
Yes, it does.
Well, all right. So now before we get too far away from the story, tell us, I know it's at Amazon. Where else do you have this book for sale at?
Just at Amazon. That's it right now.
Just at Amazon. Okay.
Uh-huh, and it's available in ebook and print.
Uh-huh. Do you have any audio yet?
I was going to do it in audio, and some stuff came up, and I just didn't, but I still may finish it and get it available.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, all right. Now, folks, Linda has several other books also under her belt. She has named them is Next Move You're Dead, Pure Justice, Liberty Betrayed, Boding Evil, Dragon's Blood Key, Hellfire's Judgment, Sheriff Bunny and the Lucky Horseshoe, Chickaroo's Great Adventure, and Saying Goodbye. And so as you can see, she is an accomplished author. So she is, as we said earlier, she's a multi-genre author. So you can find anything from fantasy to children's and to dark thrillers.
Dark thrillers.
From Linda. Yeah.
Yeah,
my mind just went away to dark thrillers. So you can get quite a few things from Linda. So I'm sure if you go over there to her website, DebbieReads.com, and click under the tab, her name, tab, you will find the list of her books, and I'm sure you'll find one of these books will catch your eye. So so give Linda a look. All right, do you want to do your reading now for the book?
Yeah, I've got the intro for the book.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Introduction. Have you ever had someone come into your life
and instantly you knew everything you've ever believed about yourself and your life was going to change forever? Well, that happened to me. When I thought I had my life all figured out, the unexpected happened and changed the course of my life forever. Hello, my name is Molly. I'm going to share with you the story of my favorite Christmas when I was 23 years old and in my third year of med school. Now, before you wonder how that's possible, let me clarify a few things. I was raised to believe you should push yourself and not settle for anything less than your best. So because of that, I graduated from high school at the age of 17, midterm of my senior year, and it only took me 3.5 years to get my bachelor's degree before being accepted into med school. Regardless of the pressure put on me to succeed, I guess you can say I'm a bit spoiled and stuck in my ways. However, growing up with the parents I had, it's not a surprise. I'm an only child. I was the pride and joy of my father and the young lady in training for my overly strict and domineering mother. Yeah, I know there are several stories out there about children growing up in homes with parents like that, but I'm not here to whine about how it screwed up my life. You see, this is a different story. This is how I learned a lesson my parents or teachers had never taught me. This is the story how I finally learned how to say goodbye, and from someone you'd least expect.
There we go. Yep, it's a wonderful story. So folks, y'all go out there and get this book. And yeah, I promise you, you will not regret getting it. It's enjoyable, and it's, but have the tissues close by. I will say that.
Yeah, I cried a few big sloppy ones myself while writing it. So.
But doesn't that make it, I've always heard, and I have seen it in my own stories, you know, that if you feel the emotions in your own story and you write, get it to page, the readers will be affected by your emotions that you've put onto the story.
Yeah.
So I've had, you know, readers say, oh, you know, this and this and this, and it makes you feel good because you felt those same emotions. So, you know, when you hear that, you know you've done something right. So.
Well, I know that. When I first got the book out there and, you know, I started getting some reviews and everything and, you know, people were saying, oh, you know, that touched my heart. I had a few people get a hold of me and say, you know, I read the book and now I have to call my mom, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, call my mom. Or another one said, I need to call my sister, make up with my sister. We haven't talked in years, you know. And
aww.
And so it made me feel good that I was able to touch them in such a way, you know, my words, to where they felt inspired to reach out and, you know, tear down that wall that we wrap ourselves in and start
mm-hmm.
letting the love come to their heart. And so... That made me feel pretty good. The reviews it's gotten all good reviews. So it makes
mm-hmm.
me
well, you know,
pretty pleased.
That's true. It is a story of forgiveness, about forgiveness. Wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was some bad, not bad, but there was some things that were unsettled in Molly's life between,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to, you know, between her mother and her
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a very touching, to me, that was my favorite part of the story was seeing broken fences mended, you know, in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that.
Yeah, you know, when I wrote the book, it was me, this is going to be really personal when I say this, but it was me saying, I wish I could have done that with my mom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My mother and I had always had a strained relationship. It was, you know, and a lot of it was from her childhood. She had difficulties that she had never come to terms with, and
mm-hmm.
It made it difficult for her. And then, of
mm-hmm.
course, it made it difficult with me, you know. But,
right.
You know, my mother's been passed on now for several years, and I don't know why this story, but it was like, it was my way of saying, okay, Mom, I'm saying goodbye. I'm letting all the hurt feelings go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
This was my way of getting to tell her goodbye, too, you know, in a
yeah.
way that wasn't involved with the hurt. So
right.
it helped me, too. So if it helped somebody else, I'm glad because it helped me also.
Yeah. Well, you know, that your mom and my mom and our grandmother, you know, they all came from, a different generation where women and probably men too, but women I know for, you know, certainly couldn't express their emotions and couldn't express their feelings maybe, you know, like we women do today. So maybe that was a part of that, you know.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, this is just different, you know, different. You know, my mom had a lot of things, issues in her life that she never came to terms with. And, you know, I hope now that she's passed on, that she's found the peace that she deserves, you know. And,
right, and I'm sure
this
she
was, yeah, and this is just my way of releasing my little bit of anger and hurt, you know, that I held all those years. So
yeah,
and if you
yeah, and
like I said,
that's a healing process for you. It's good.
Mm-hmm. And it made me feel good when other people were saying, like the ones with, "Well, I need to get hold of my sister." Oh, now I'm going to have to call my mom. You know, and it made me feel good because, you know, I guess we all have our little things that we have that we hold on to that we really just need to let go.
That's true. My mom and I had, you know, we've had these conversations, you know. And I know the other day we talked, you know, and I can't remember, but I think someone she knew had died and there was some bad things, you know, involved. And so she and I talked and I said, you know, I said, this is one thing that we can, I said, we had our issues, we had our problems and everything. I said, but we have worked through it. And I said, I thank God, you know, that I've been fortunate enough that my mom and I have worked through our issues. And, you know, when she passes on, I can honestly say with a pure heart, you know, that everything's good between us now. You know, it's all good, and she can go in peace, you know, with that, and I can let her go, you know, in peace. So that's good, you know. I know that I am one of the fortunate ones that can do that, you know, that have, and I am so blessed to still have my mom. So I had never thought about that, but your story, yeah, it's that's really good. Women, you know, could find healing in your story like that. So that's wonderful. So, all right, is there anything else about the story that you'd like to share with us?
No, just basically that, you know, I think it's a sweet little story. It's only 99 cents, so, I mean, it's not going to break the bank.
Right.
But I think
it's worth every penny.
You know, thank you. It's just a wonderful little Christmas story. Molly has a lot of fun. You know, Liam is a treasure. Even little Peanut, Mom's dog's in there, and he's precious.
Oh, yeah. That was a sweet little story, too, if you know what I'm saying, about him, about Peanut. That was sweet.
Yeah.
I got to like it. I liked Peanut, so.
But anyway, that's about it. It's got a touch of paranormal in there. I'm going to let people know. So there's a little touch of paranormal. It's in a good way.
Right.
It's just one of those stories that when you're all done, I promise you, you'll cry, you'll laugh, and when you're done, you'll feel good. And it's just a good Christmas story.
Well, too, you know, I liked it too because of the paranormal part. You know, I personally believe that, not to get, you know, overly whatever, but I believe there is life after death. I'm not exactly sure what our life will be. You know, everyone has their different
opinion.
Philosophical mm-hmm. opinions on that. Mm-hmm. But I do personally believe there is life after death. So it's not really, it is saying goodbye, but it's like, see you later. You know, I don't believe that it's a mm-hmm. final goodbye. I believe, mm-hmm. you know, we will see each other again in a better place. So mm-hmm. that, you know, that helps too. So this, mm-hmm. So the ending was very touching and very sweet. And I think you had the perfect ending for it. And it gave us a little glimpse of the future after death, if that makes sense. So I like that.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you. Okay, well, you want to hear one of my favorite, you want to hear one of my favorite newer Christmas carols?
Yes, I sure do.
Now, we all have our old favorites, but this is one of my newer ones. I know you guys will know it because it's been all over Facebook, so here we go. Volume.
It just absolutely brings chills to me. So, yeah, it's one of my favorite songs. Love it.
Okay, pull myself together. I offer the cheers.
Yeah.
Just the image that it paints in my mind is just overwhelming.
Right.
But that's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's I know. I mean, it's a mother thing. Maybe.
It's
so.
A mom thing. Yeah.
I
yep,
think all moms
mom
feel that. Yeah. Well, all right. So now, what are you working on next? What can we look for from Linda next?
Well, right now I need to finish up an editing project.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Once I get those done, I haven't decided if I'm going to dive into the book 2 of The Dragon's Blood Key or finish my my listen to you or finish my paranormal thriller 4. So it's between those two.
Mm. Do I get a vote?
Yeah, I know. You want me to finish The Dragon's Blood Key. That is a good story. It really is.
It is a good story.
Every time I think about how that thing came to be, it just blows me away. I wish I could do all my books that way. Wouldn't that be nice? I would have like 500 books published by now.
Oh, no. Isn't it true? Yeah.
Of course, I'd be certifiably insane and locked up in a padded room with a funny jacket on.
Yeah, you finished that like in a week, wasn't it?
2 weeks.
Two weeks,
yeah. And it was a full-length mm-hmm. novel, too, folks. It's not a little bitty thin book. It was a full-length novel.
Sure
and,
was. I couldn't believe it.
2 weeks, and it was off to the editor.
Mhm.
Yep. So, yeah, I was crazy. That was one of those, I was possessed by forces outside of in the universe somewhere that demanded I tell this story, and mm-hmm. I had no idea how it was going to end. I was channeling something, and it was telling me, and I was just the vessel to type. So,
mm-hmm.
after many cups of coffee and staying awake till all hours in the morning, I mean, I would stay up to like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, sleep for maybe 3 or 4 hours, and I'd be right back at it. I was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I got it done.
Yep. Yeah, it was amazing. 2 weeks. I mean, it was like one night or one morning or whatever it was, she told me, you know, oh, I've got this idea for this great story. And then it was like blink, and it was done. I was like, are you serious? I'm jealous. I want to write, you know. I wish I could
do it that easily. So.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I don't see that ever happening again. But, you know, in all honesty, this book, Saying Goodbye, now it's
you
a novella.
You almost done the
so
same
short
thing.
Story.
Yeah, but you was, almost done the same
done
thing.
It was 2.5 days.
Right. So, actually,
I wrote
quicker,
it in 2.5
yes.
days, yeah.
So, see, there you go. You had the energy, the spirit flowing through you on this one, too. So, that's good.
But, you know, now that we have our new toy that we got ourselves for Christmas, Lisa and I got Merry Christmas to us from us. So, we got ourselves each a one of those dragon speak things where we can talk and it
yeah.
talks for us. But watch
right.
out, folks. We're going to be cranking out books big time now.
Yeah, I can't wait to play with it and see how it's going to work. Now, I'm wondering how that's going to actually work. Because, you know, sitting there, you want to, I don't know if my brain is going to work that fast. It's, you know, instead of typing, it's going to come out. You know what I mean? Does that make sense
yeah,
what I'm asking?
I know. It's definitely different.
Uh-huh.
I had an older version. This is a newer one. So I had an older one, and it was weird to sit and talk because usually you're thinking,
right.
the words flow down your brain, your arms, out your fingertips.
Right.
But it's totally different, you know, so it'll take some practice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll figure
yeah.
it out.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah,
we'll
figure it out.
The
it'll be, oh, yeah. So I was playing on it today. We're getting off the subject, but I was playing on it today, and so I was, you know, getting it to record, to do, you know, to write out the stuff I was saying. And
mm-hmm.
then I noticed up there, you can play back your
mm-hmm.
words. And it will audio, a voice
mm-hmm.
comes on and reads it out. And I was like, oh, that is cool. So I enjoyed that, you know.
The one thing about it, it'll be nice, is I'm hoping it'll keep those dang pesky little typos to a minimum.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes your brain's thinking one thing and your fingers are wandering off in a whole other direction. You know, and you go back and you're reading like, what the heck is this? You know?
That's true. That is true. Unless you're using weird names like I do in some of my stories.
Yeah. Well, that's like those books you'll have to do your own audio book for.
Exactly. Yeah. So, can you believe it's 10 till?
I know.
We're almost done. I can't believe it.
I know. Having too much
All
fun.
All right. Yeah. All right.
So what presents are you hoping Santa's going to bring you this year?
I don't know. I'm easy to please as far as gifts. So
uh-huh.
$1 million would be nice under the tree.
What
if they
give
me money?
So now, do you have any special rituals or traditions that you guys do for your Christmas? You always do?
Kira and I, we always, I read the nativity story to her Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
So we do that,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
she likes that. I've done that since she was little, and she expects it now, so we do that, and we let,
well,
you know,
old
of course.
She can read it to you now.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, she's old enough. I'd have her read it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good. I might make her do that this year. And we put out, of course, milk and cookies for Santa. And
yeah.
So we lost our elf. We must have been bad this year because we had Elf on the Shelf, and you know, he goes. You know, he watches you, and then he goes back to Santa and reports. You know, about the deeds, but we have not even seen the elf this year. So I told Kira, I said, I guess we've been so bad this year, he decided not to even show up.
We never had the elf on the shelf. Now, in our thing, the tradition we started years ago when the kids were little was instead of mailing their letter to Santa, they would write
mm-hmm.
their letter, and then they would, a couple of nights before Christmas, because we always had a fireplace, they would put the letter in the fireplace, and the letter would burn, and the ashes would go up, and the snow dove would take the ashes of the letter to the North Pole with Santa.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I always thought that was cool.
Yeah. Is that a made-up tradition that you made up, or is that?
I don't remember where it came from, to be honest with you, but we just started doing it. Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, we write the letter and put the letter in the fireplace, and we say, okay, watch the ashes, they go up. You know, of course, you convince a small child of anything. Oh, yeah. You know, and okay, the snow dove got it going up. Of course, they didn't want to run outside and see the snow dove fly off, but...
Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one thing I used to try to do, I don't know if you ever did, you ever hear that on Christmas Eve, the animals out in the barn are supposed to kneel for the birth of baby Jesus?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I remember trying to stay awake long enough to go out there, and I never could catch them dang animals kneeling. I'd poop out too soon.
Oh. You just didn't go out at the right time, see? That's the way it was.
It was too late.
Right. Yeah, I always wanted to stay up and see Santa, you know, and I never could,
uh-huh.
you know, never could stay awake enough to see him. So.
Well. My husband was notorious when the children were little. He would wait until Santa was gone, and he would go wake them up all excited because Santa had just left their toys there. So they'd be walking out and let them, rubbing their little eyes, like, you know.
Uh-huh, right. That's funny.
He couldn't stand it. Santa just left. You got to go look at your stuff.
Yeah.
So they'd be out there for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and they'd start moaning and complaining, and we put them back to bed.
Yeah. I know. We adults are sometimes bigger kids than they are at Christmas. You know, I mean, it's so crazy. I guess it's because when you have kids, you understand, you know, because mm-hmm. I used to get excited because I wanted to know what I was getting for Christmas, you know. I couldn't wait to tear the presents open and look. But now I get excited watching my child get excited, you know, about it's exciting to see her little face, you know, light up and everything. So I understand now, after becoming a mother, about the joy of giving.
it's
exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, now I've got the grandchildren, so I have that joy. So that's going to be fun with them. And,
yeah.
I had to mail them off to two of the grandchildren because Bobby and Desi are in North Carolina with Bobby's job, so they won't be here. So I had to mail their presents to them. But got them some of those heel skates, whatever those things are. It just goes on the heel and two wheels. So there's nothing on the front part of the foot. And if they drop their heel down backwards, there's a blade thing that hits the concrete and it shoots sparks out the back. I thought, they'll be all about that because those two are my two fearless grandchildren. They, you know, they're the ones that always get cuts and bruises. And So that's what Grandma and Grandpa got then. So they'll enjoy the heck out of that. I'll have to find out.
Yeah.
From Bobby and Desi, how many bruises and bumps and everything they get from those things.
Well, Kira got a lot of her Christmas presents early. We all got horses this year. So I guess that's my Christmas present is horses.
There you go.
So she got her saddle and her bridle and all that stuff that goes with it early. So that was exciting.
That'll be fun.
So that's it. Yeah.
Well, Lisa, we're coming down to the end of our show.
It went too quick.
I know, we should have said it for longer, huh? Oh, well. Everybody, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, because we won't be back until January 5th. So everybody be safe out there and enjoy your time with your family. And we'll see you all next year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and have a great New Year. And remember, folks, find Linda's book at Amazon, and you can find more out about Linda at deadlyreads.com, and you can find her on Facebook and Twitter, and look at the other books that she's got. She's got plenty to offer, so you won't be disappointed.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, everybody, we'll see you next year, and Merry Christmas.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Holy night.